You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T still on vacation. What's up, Ray?
Long vacation, but I'm in the building. Ray is here.
Ray is here, man. Ray is like the, I'm trying to think, like you're like the mailman. You hear like every day now, you know, other than Sundays and stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's another discussion. But yeah, if you work Sundays, you don't have to work much during the week. Put it that way.
I know, right? I was thinking about this because, you know, I'm like into power now. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't get this, like the thing Kanan said. I mean, I think everybody's been using it nowadays. But every time I see this meme, it's like, if somebody's guilty of something, I'm like, you know, oh, they said he did it. Oh, that bad. But you know what I mean? That's all I keep saying. I start busting out laughing.
What?
I can't cuss. That's why I'm trying to like not try to say everything. Like when he said, like, oh, I remember Ghost. Like when his son was like, they said my dad did it, and he was like, they said he did it. That did that. Oh. So every time I hear that, like I bust out laughing. Like, I only have to hear it. Like, I think about it in my mind, and I'm like, I just start laughing.
All right. Well, for our listeners who don't watch Power, sorry. If you're lost, I'm lost, too, even though I am familiar.
You lost?
I'm not lost, but I was lost.
How can you
lost.
Be lost? I know for a hot second you were lost.
Well, right, because...
Because the delivery was all jacked up.
All right.
Because that, you know, he did that-ish. That was like... I mean, I want to get that clip. Like, I want to get that clip and take... And, like, just edit it up and then just play it. So if you said, Wally, you were wrong, that means then I can kind of like play on to it and just play it. And then it'll be like, yeah, I was wrong because y'all said that ish.
All right. I don't know what to say. I really don't. I want to encourage all of my listeners, though, to check out All Skins Everything podcast featuring Urban Sports Scene, Fox Sports 1348.
Oh, man.
Hopewell, Virginia. Check out their website. Click on podcast.
You're a very, very nice guy, Ray.
Absolutely. Urban Sports Scene is doing a lot of big things.
We are, though, man.
You're confusing people.
I know. Don't put me on blast, man.
No.
I know it did come off kind of wrong.
It ended well, but it started off.
I know. Because
and
I couldn't cuss.
It came out of nowhere, though.
Because I was thinking about power. Because I can't cuss. So it's kind of hard.
You went from no power to.
Like being a big time fan.
To being a season ticket holder. It's within about a week.
You're right.
That's amazing. You
real people do real things.
You caught up.
You told me this, though. Real people do real things.
That's right.
All
right,
man. Anyway, Will T's not here. I know what. I need to get a sound bite when Will's not here just to say let's get into our tradition. I think that would be kind of hot. You think that's would that be cool?
I'm down with that.
You down with that? Anyway, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. We will recap the Redskins preseason game against the Ravens at 8:20. We will discuss the impact of Trent Murphy's season-ending injury and Sue Craven's injury. At 8:30, we will preview the Redskins preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. At 8:40, we'll discuss the injury to Washington Nationals baseball star Bryce Harper. And at 8:50, we will examine the Washington Wizards' newly released regular season schedule. All right, first topic, Ravens, Redskins. Ravens defeated the Washington Redskins 23-3. If you did catch the game, your thoughts on the game? Or does preseason even matter to you? Or did that game matter to you?
Well, we had this discussion, and it's hilarious because you kind of started out the show solo last week, and you talked about the significance of preseason.
I know, right?
And then we kind of flipped. I always said
I said individual play, though, when I – talked about the significant stuff.
All right, go ahead. Save yourself. I personally don't put a lot of weight in the preseason. Sometimes I like for the team that I root for to look bad in preseason for mm-hmm. the simple fact that it doesn't matter then. But what's most important is when you step on the field. Mm-hmm. Because just my observation, in many cases, when your team or the team you're rooting for or teams in general look good in preseason, they start to struggle during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
A good example is that the Patriots are good every year, always in contention. They go to the Super Bowl so frequently. But in the preseason, it's not a whole lot of talk about how good they look or how bad they look. Tom Brady doesn't play a whole lot. But you know that, you know, internally, Bill Belichick is taking it serious. But the fans, no, not a whole lot of weight. And I guess that's not the greatest example because we know the Patriots are going to be good.
Yeah.
But, you know, just again – growing up watching football, preseason really has meant nothing. I will say this, in reference to this specific game, it would have been nice to have seen the Redskins have a bit more, play with a bit more energy.
Yeah.
The Redskins just seemed flat. And I'm just wondering, you know, what was the reason? The Ravens seemed excited and pumped for their first preseason game. The Redskins just didn't come out that way. And I don't know if that's coaching or if it's because of injuries or, you know, do you need some time to shake off some rust?
No, both teams go through the whole protocol within the NFL in terms of how much you can practice or whatnot. But just watching that game in terms of, you know, the players, I just thought the Ravens were more physical. They're just a physical team compared to the Washington Redskins. Because I don't know what the Redskins are doing within training camp or within practices. But when you watch the Ravens, John Harbaugh has those dudes tough. And I think that's the thing that stood out to me.
Toughness?
Just toughness. To me, preseason isn't important in terms of wins and losses. Because, again, we talked about it before in the past. We had Steve Spurrier here, and that offense looked like the best thing in the world. But you try to break down individual play. In terms of toughness, I just thought a lot of times, especially the offensive line, the Ravens' defensive line just looked tougher. And the Redskins' offensive line just didn't match up.
That is true. What, to me, was the only concerning thing for the Redskins was, outside of the fact that they just didn't seem to match the effort, kind of what you're saying, is that the Ravens put out a makeshift offensive line.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Redskins defense couldn't penetrate.
I thought the Redskins, to be honest with you, I thought the Redskins first team was good. Their defense was good. I mean, good enough. I thought Ryan Anderson, he had to step up and play for most of because Trent Murphy went down. I thought Ryan Anderson looked really good. He did look good.
So. I'm not saying I don't disagree with that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just disagree in general.
Oh, Phil Taylor was getting
because,
pushed
because the Ravens stink on offensive.
Yeah, but yeah, I totally agree.
Makeshift offensive line, and you still down 30.
No, again, I agree. I agree with you. The Ravens did stink offensively in terms of passing the ball. We saw Ryan Mallett was not accurate at all, but he wasn't. He was terrible. Now, you know, I like Ryan Mallett, but he was just terrible. But Phillip, like I said, you still have to break down individual play compared to what we saw last season. And Phil Taylor was a guy who stood out because you heard reports that in training camp, he didn't look the best compared to others. But against the Ravens, he balled out. Like, he was getting in the backfield. And usually for the Washington Redskins, in terms of the nose tackle position over the last couple of seasons with them running the 3-4, I couldn't give you an example of a nose tackle getting constant pressure on any level of the season in terms of preseason or regular season. I thought Phil Taylor, to me, was impressive in that regard because I think, to me, he set the tone in terms of defensive line. But after the first unit, other than Ryan Anderson consistently playing because he's a young kid and we saw Jonathan Allen had a sack in the game, other than those two, I didn't think that they were thoroughly tough enough defensively, but I think the first unit was solid enough.
I guess my perspective is just comparing them to how the Ravens look.
The Ravens are tough.
The Ravens look tough, and the Ravens are good on defense, but last year
they weren't as good.
As you know, they're known to be.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they just look tougher. And you know what? It's not necessarily the worst thing in the world because you got three more preseason games left.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys who are going to be fighting for playing time, roster spots. Now with the injury to Trent Murphy, which he was going to be suspended anyway. That's a whole
four games. A whole nother subject.
We'll get on that. But I'm just saying, I do think that the Redskins will step up their level of play moving forward. But it's just, to me, it's deflating when.
I agree.
At least just to come out for the first couple series, the starters, and you don't look as tough as the other team looks hungry.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can't assess the play of, like, you know, obviously we're going to assess the first team. You're going to try to. But offensively, you can't assess what you saw offensively with the first unit because they only got two series, but really one series. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins, you saw limited action. So it's hard to assess the offense. But I think in this particular game, in terms of the first preseason game, something that, like, what just stands out is toughness. And I'm with you, Ray. That was a little bit. I think if you're a Redskin fan, you're frustrated because you saw that between those two teams, the Ravens and the Washington Redskins, regardless of who's going to make the roster, the Ravens look tougher. Forget individual play and talent. The Ravens just look tougher.
Right, and that was the concern. You had Josh Norman after the game saying that he's excited about the Redskins' front four going into the regular season. He's excited about the depth that the Redskins have, which, you know, could be just a teammate showing a public vote of confidence for guys who necessarily looked outmatched by the Ravens' defense. But, you know, you look at injuries on both sides. The Ravens were missing a whole lot on offense, though. And new additions, Jeremy Maclin, Mike Wallace didn't play either. And of course, Joe Flacco. So if this is a regular season game, you're matching up starters versus starters. With the Ravens' potential weapons, I mean, Jeremy Maclin, we both like him.
I've always liked Maclin.
You would think, just based on the eye test, with this game, we saw that the Ravens would have the edge. But, again, we didn't see much of the Redskins' offense. I was looking at the running game of the Redskins, which, again, because, like you said, the starters didn't get that much playing time.
It wasn't effective at all.
Right. Well, it wasn't effective, but is that what we can come to expect during a regular season? I don't think so. I hope not, but that was a concern going into the offseason. And then to start off that way, I think it does – you know, raising my eyebrows.
It should raise my eyebrows. I don't think that's the wrong thing to think, Ray. I think you're pretty accurate. You had Rob Kelly, who looked decent last season. But, you know, the Ravens were consistently in the backfield, you know, and he didn't get an opportunity to make a move, it seemed like. You saw P. Ryan, the guy that everybody talked about, P. Ryan out of Oklahoma. Everybody thought he'd be the individual that would probably take Rob Kelly's job. And to me, watching him play, I thought he was terrible. In that game, I think his pass protection wasn't good. He wasn't good running the ball because, to me, he hesitated, he fumbled, he dropped passes. He just wasn't, to me, he wasn't a confident running back. So if I'm Rob Kelly, I feel pretty safe. You know, I would like to see Mac play a little bit more. We saw Matt Jones play, but I would like to see Mac. But I think on this roster, to be honest, which I think Chris Thompson is the best running back on the team, but unfortunately, he won't get like 20 plus carries because of his size, and they view him as a third down running back.
Well, it may have came down to coaching as far as preparation goes.
That's what I'm saying.
Fred Harbaugh had his team prepared. It looks like Gruden didn't. Sometimes Gruden, just some of his responses just baffle me. It really does.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, I was listening to him, you know, in the post game presser, and sometimes it's just like he doesn't have the right answer. And it always takes me back, and I said this before, it's like PTSD to the Indianapolis press conference when guys were just running free. and when the Skins faced Indy season before this. He's like, I don't know, man. We got to fix it.
I got to fix it.
It's like he never has the right answer.
That's hilarious. Why do you do the voice so well,
I don't
man?
Think you can blame things on Minuski at this point yet. Nah. He's still trying to install.
But I don't think his unit was bad. I don't think his unit wasn't the problem. It wasn't the problem.
Does it come down to coaching? We'll see. I do like Gruden. I wrote an article about him. You know, I like.
Yeah, I like Gruden too.
It's just maybe it's with the media. I don't know. if you played for him, do you think he would motivate you? You know,
I think he's from covering the team and being around him. Uh-huh. I think you can play for him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's a player's coach, but in a good way. In a way, not to let you slide with everything, but he relates to you.
Unless he don't like you.
Unless he doesn't like you. Right. That's true. That is true.
But it's just sometimes, again, I don't know if maybe you're right. I'll say that. Maybe he's protecting his guys.
Yeah, well, he does.
And he's taking the blame.
He's done that enough times with certain players. I posed a question on our Facebook and Twitter page, which player stood out in this Ravens-Redskins game.
Everybody said the same thing.
Patrick Waring, my man Pat, on Twitter said Nico Marley. He did. He looked fast. Nico Marley fast. He did look. Who you thought was going to? Who you thought?
Jonathan Allen.
I like Jonathan Allen.
They both had a sack, right?
Yeah, but Jonathan Allen – there were plays he looked blocked. I like Jonathan Allen. I think for a rookie, he's going to be special. I think he's going to be special down the road. But I'm not going to say like he was, you know, that dude. Like I won't say that. Like down the road, like Jonathan Allen, he's the one who played ball. One individual on Twitter, at Zorn_CHR, said Harvey Clemens stood out. Breland was good. Of course, Brown and Marley also. Who have been mentioned a number of times by other people. I thought Brown, like I said, Brown stood out to me when I talked about him, you know, because, you know, he should be starting an inside linebacker, you know, overconfident Compton and Foster. Though they did say Zach Brown will be starting week two. I mean, of preseason.
Yeah, I mean, the depth chart is probably going to change quite frequently up until week one. Or before each preseason game, because there was an initial depth chart that came out, and then right before this Ravens game, another one came out. That's the one you were complaining about.
Yeah.
So it's going to be changes.
It should be. Don't try to say I was kind of panicking. I'm just saying you already know where I'm coming from.
Well, you got a lot more to work with when it comes to watching these guys. Well, all of them. So you have your preferences. I think Will Compton's a hard worker, but obviously
he's still starting.
He's slow, you know. He's sideline to sideline. He's slow. For his position.
Yeah, it is the big problem. Okay, anybody tells me you're inside linebacker, you got to run.
Especially, you know, when you're going. This is why Eli looks like Peyton when he plays against the Redskins.
Exactly, because you have all these slot receivers running up the middle. Right the middle. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You don't got to worry about nothing. What you got to worry about? Odell Beckham Jr. could just leave normal on his own thing. Compton's right there. He ain't going to stop it. That's all I'm saying. You feeling my pain now?
You know what,
do you see it now? You see where I'm coming from?
I just do not want to be discouraged when it comes to the brother Will Compton. But when it comes to this show and guys like Lex Diamonds, our boy, who I don't know how many times we've had him on over the past year and a half. He's like, we don't have Wilbur Marshall and LeVar Arrington.
Yeah, he did. He
Molly Coleman. Like, he always going in the passing ball. We need the dominant linebacker. Like, he's just starving for it, man. It's great.
Yeah, and what do we have? Will Compton. You know what I mean? Straight out of Compton, man. It's terrible, man. Just terrible. Man, it's time for a break, man. The Redskins were hit with injuries last Saturday. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. You listen to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, Will T on vacation. Stop laughing. All right. I mentioned Redskins injury on Saturday. Trent Murphy tore his ACL and his MCL in the first quarter of the Ravenskins game. How big a loss is that for the Washington Redskins?
I think it's tough from the standpoint he was coming off a career year, career high. Career highs in everything.
Yeah.
47 tackles, 9 sacks.
9 sacks. Mm-hmm.
3 forced fumbles. So that's going to be difficult to replace. But considering that the team was preparing to start the season without him, I do not think it's going to be the biggest loss because of that reason solely. And you know what the mantra is in NFL is next man up.
Yeah.
So this is what Washington faces, and they knew that they were going to face some games without him anyway. It's tough for him, though, personally. And he did like he was evolving, though, right?
Yeah.
But – he didn't even appear on the last depth chart, am I right?
Murphy?
Yeah.
He was on depth chart in terms of starting?
Right, the one that was released right before the Ravens game.
Oh, he was there. He just wasn't starting. He was, I think, because of the suspension, he was probably second string.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. He was there. He was just buried. You wouldn't even tell.
Well, that's my point.
You know what I mean?
That's my point.
No, I agree. Like, to me, I think, in the end of the day, like, at that position, they're deep. They're deep enough. I'm not saying that they got world beaters. They got Ryan Kerrigan, Preston Smith, who a couple years had a good season his rookie year. I think he had 7.5 sacks. You have Ryan Anderson, who drafted at that position. You got Junior Gallette that you're hoping that, you know, produces, because in New Orleans, he was a double-digit sack guy. So in the grand scheme of things, I think that you can lose out on a Trent Murphy and not feel like the season's over. You know, he had a great year last year. Arguably, you could say he was their best pass rusher last year. Arguably, but again, you could say he was their best pass rusher because he cheated. So,
that's interesting. I just feel like a guy who can force turnovers, mm-hmm. or who is beginning to become a guy who can force turnovers, that's a problem when you lose a guy like that, because that's a void the Redskins need to have filled. They need to force turnovers consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw when they did, they were successful. Josh Norman to start the season. Sua Cravens obviously made a big play. These are things you can't replace. So that's going to be, again, a void that you fill, but the team, again, was preparing to be without him. You got a new defensive scheme, new defensive coordinator. I think they can continue to move forward without Trent Murphy.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sua Cravens, who missed out, got hurt, and I believe like got hurt in probably in the first quarter, first quarter as well with a knee injury. Sua is more valuable than a Trent Murphy. I think Sua, because he's going to play safety, because there's high hopes, and he's been compared to Sean Taylor because he's a playmaker. Losing him is big time because you don't have that much depth or knowing depth. I'm not going to even go Will Blackman. So to me, Sua, his health is a little bit more serious. Sua's going to go through. Sua Cravens is going to have surgery on his MCL. So we'll see what happens.
Here's why I think Sua Cravens is bigger, for the simple fact that, what did he have? 3 snaps in this preseason game. He's trying to learn a new system and trying to play a new position. Trent Murphy, you're not going to have him at all. You can prepare for that. But Sua Cravens, expect to be back by week 1. Is it going to be a learning curve?
Also, right now we have a call with Urban Sports. Say hello. What's going on?
Yo, what's up, fellas?
How's it going?
This is Patrick.
What's going on, Pat? Real quick, Pat, question. In terms of Sua Cravens and, say, Sua Cravens and Trent Murphy, which loss is bigger?
Well, I guess I'm going to say Murphy because of his salary. You know, Murphy's gone for the year. Cravens has a chance to be back for week 1. So, I mean, whenever you know you have a guy that's gone for the year, I mean, I think that hurts a little worse. Safety is obviously a position that we've been thin at for a minute. We got Swearinger there, but I guess we're hoping that Cravens can kind of get back in the mix. So I guess I would say Murphy because that's a guy that you know is not going to be there for you at all.
So would you say, all right, for Sua Cravens, would you say that, you know, him probably he's going to miss out all the preseason. Hopefully he'll be back for week 1 of the regular season. Missing out on preseason, will that hinder his growth as a safety, as a starting safety for the Washington Redskins?
Yeah, I think it will, because I think it's important because of the fact that he's transitioning to supposedly playing 100% safety. So I think any time that you miss is going to be bad. But the fact that, you know, we'll eventually have him, I think that's a lot better than what it looked like earlier in that game, when he came out. But safety is a position that we play patchwork with, you know, for some seasons now. So I hate to say it's here we go again, but I mean, this is something that we tried to find a way to get by with. Swearinger there, I think, can help. You know, we'll see what the other guys can do to step out. I mean, I guess just being optimistic, maybe let's just say worst case scenario, Cravens isn't there for the first couple games. You know, I think we can kind of make do until he gets back in the mix. Well, try to make do until he gets back in the mix, I should say.
Well, hey, Patrick, the reason why I think the bigger loss is Sua Cravens is because you expect him back and you expect him to be a big part of your defense. You know that Murphy's out. You're not going to have him. You have to prepare to be without him for the season. But you can have a guy watch film. But as you know, as a football fan, and you watch the game, once you get out there on that field, it's a lot different from watching film. So I think he needs to learn. He needs the game reps. And losing him in preseason is huge.
Oh, true that. Like I said, I'm not going to argue that. I don't think it's going to be, bam, he comes back and everything's, you know, fine and dandy. You know, I'm not looking at it like that. But, you know, he has had some time to prepare for. We hope, you know, mentally he's been studying for this since last year. They talked about the move was going to be made. So hopefully, he's been able to, like, mentally prepare himself for it. But, easier said than done. You still got to get out there and you got to make some plays on it. But I think with linebacker, I'm hoping Gillette's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're hoping that, you know, the rookie is going to come in and step up. I like Marley. I know you put out a tweet earlier saying, who did you like for that game? You know, that's a guy that I think, you know, is an exciting player. I know he's small, but, you know, he's shown that he kind of belongs out there. So, you know, maybe we can have some other guys can kind of step up at that position soon.
Before I let you go, Pat, I want to say this, too. I do like Nico Marley. I mean, he reminds me of Sam Mills. You know, Sam Mills used to play for New Orleans back in the day. He's fast. I mean, he can run sideline to sideline. Some of our inside linebackers can't do that. Other than Zach Brown. Zach Brown can do it. Everybody else, I ain't sure about. But, Pat, thanks for calling in. We appreciate you, my man, as always. Hey, Pat, before I let you go, tell folks about your podcast show.
Yeah, it's NBS Sports Hour. We actually had a show today. Me and Joe do that over at Nothing Ball Sports. We just try to talk about whatever, man. Like, sports is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got the local flavor with it, but we also go into music, movies, you know, whatever is going on. Like, we touched on a little bit of stuff with Charlottesville. We're trying to grow, man. We're trying to have some fun with it, but... we're trying to at least get on once a week, but you guys can definitely follow that show if anybody wants to check it out.
And how can they check it out on, like, social media or whatnot?
On social media, you can follow it, NBS Sports Hour, just, you know, one full word. You can follow on there, or you can go to my Twitter page at Waring Patrick, and I have a link. I have a in my bio, you can find it from there as well, or Joe Cardoza. You can go to his Twitter account, too. So NBS Sports Hour is the name of it. Like you said, we try to get on as much as we can. I think we're going to try to hit soon next week. We're going to try to touch on a lot of this fantasy football talk that's going on. So we'll see if we can get on that.
All right. Well, thanks, Pat. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for tuning in, man.
All right. No problem. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm going to listen here. Like I said, I'm a fan of the show, man. I appreciate everything from you.
Same here, my man.
All right.
Kind of agree with Pat, man. Nico Marley, son.
I'm laughing because of his height.
You haven't seen it? You didn't know he was that short?
No. Yes, but there was a linebacker. I cannot think
Sam
of
Sam Mills. You talking about Sam Mills?
No. He played alongside London Fletcher.
Oh, the supers. I know exactly who you're thinking
you
of.
You could not stand him because you said he was way too small.
I do know who you're talking about.
I can't think of his name.
I know who you're talking about. I know exactly.
Over the break.
We won't find him. Anyway, yeah, you're right. It's about time for a break. You're right. I'm trying to think about this individual. All right, after break, we're going to preview.
Find out what his short linebacker is.
That too. We're going to preview the Redskins-Packers game. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Immaculate conception, I transform like this, perform like this, with Yoshi, a new weapon, I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head, this that put the kids to bed, this that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA, I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA, I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA, I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA, I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon, I serve, yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird, you see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard, I know how you work, I know just who you are, see, use it, Joe almost probably switch inside your DNA, follow me, all that sucker shit inside your DNA, daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA, backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge, see my bed.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, Will T on vacation.
HB Blades.
HB Blades? I did like it for... I liked it for a hot second. Then he sucked. I did like HB Blades. Because his son was
a little bit taller, though.
Yeah. Maybe, he was bigger, though. He was actually stronger. And his father played in the NFL.
HB Blades is not that short, though.
He is short. No, he's short. He was a little stockier, though.
I thought he was...
Nah.
He's
6 foot. That's a lie. You know, it's like, you know,
Blaze
was
a little dude.
He was a little dude, though. Nico Marley is
5'8". He's shorter than me.
Yeah, he is short,
he
though.
He won't be batting down no balls and shit.
Nah, he won't. But I guarantee you, though, he has sideline speed, though. And he will get to a running back, or he can get close to Odell Beckham Jr. But he would still dog him, though. But still, he can get close to him, though. That's all I'm saying. I think I would rather. That's a good question. I think I would rather have a short, fast inside linebacker. I know this is all some Madden stuff, but I would have a fast inside linebacker. He could be short rather than a slow inside linebacker who may just know a lot.
You know what? With whether he's short or tall,
yeah.
If he's got some speed and some quickness, he can cover.
Exactly, right?
That's the thought process.
And that means he may not be able to shed blocks, but I think he can make a lot of plays. You know what I mean?
I hate HB Blades.
It was you who didn't like HB Blades, not me. Like, I know. I don't think it was me. I think it was you.
You didn't like him either, though.
Oh, okay. You sure?
But he played hard. He was like a...
He was a hard player. He was a hard worker.
Lee Del Echo's type guy.
No, Lee Del Echo didn't play hard. He just scored. Scores don't play hard.
He was a local favorite.
That's
what I mean.
He was. He definitely was. He did play beside London Fletcher. You're right. That was a good one, too. I forgot all about him. Anyway, Saturday at 7:30, the Redskins take on the Green Bay Packers for the second preseason game. What do you want to see from the team in that game? Or what would you like to see from that team in that game?
To be honest, I would love to see the Packers leave their starters out on the field for more than one possession, especially the receivers.
You like the Packers? Okay.
Because I think that's a good test for your defense.
I agree.
Especially
I agree.
For your cover guys. Kendall Fuller... Here we go with all the talk about who looked good in camp.
Okay, but you've been in the game. But in, you're right.
No. But what I'm saying is it'll be a good test for him. I'm not knocking.
No. I'm agreeing with, like, this is hilarious to me. Okay, I'm glad we didn't talk about this. But now we can talk about it now. Like, everybody has hyped Kendall Fuller in practice. Like, he's going to take Breeland's spot. He's going to play outside. Dog, the first couple plays, Mallett was just so bad. Like, he was getting burnt. And Mallett just couldn't find his receivers. Like, he just wasn't accurate. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, this is the same dude from last year. This is the exact same dude from last year. And his last name is Fuller. I thought everybody in Virginia Tech who had the last name Fuller can ball. I'm not saying they were going to be all stars or pro bowlers, but I thought they can ball. This kid tends to, like, not be as good as the other Fullers that I've seen out of VTech. I'm just saying.
Here's the thing, man. You just went off on a tangent.
I did. I did.
I mentioned Kendall Fuller because, again, I think
this is
an excellent team that to get, you know,
right,
good experience mm-hmm. for the regular season, especially if he's going to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I was making, too, is everybody, I shouldn't say everybody. I'm exaggerating.
You're right, everybody.
But
you're
so
right.
Many people looked good in training camp, but they got out there against the Ravens, and not everybody showed what they looked like in training camp. So, what not a better game and a good coach to go up against in Mike McCarthy, who even when Mike McCarthy is facing adversity during the season, last season, the Packers at one point looked like they might have been close to losing out on a playoff spot. And look what happened. They get it together. They go on a short winning streak at the end of the season, and they score an upset in Dallas. So what not a better coach and a better team to go up against than the Green Bay Packers? That's why I'm hoping the Packers starters play. Get you good and battle tested for the start of the regular season, and the defense really needs it. Again, you got Greg Minuski, new. You got a lot of guys in new positions on defense. You got rookies who look talented, as we just discussed.
Uh-huh.
So this is a good team to go up against, a prolific offensive team with one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Who, I mean, from what you've heard, Ray, and or even some of the stuff that's going out there, chatter, who do you think needs to have a good performance in this game? Any individuals?
I would like, on the offensive side, I want to see Terrell Pryor get some more targets this game, because we know he can get open. Mm-hmm. We know that he's a deep threat. But I think him and Cousins need to grow some chemistry on the field, not in daggone training camp, because I'm sick of hearing about how good people look at training camp.
Me too. I'm just kind of annoyed by it.
Cole Brennan looked good in training camp.
He looked bad yesterday.
When I watched him.
He looked bad on Saturday.
Not McCoy. Cole Brennan.
I'm sorry. You said Colt. Automatically thought about McCoy.
And the fan base, this great fan base that we have in Washington, wanted Colt Brennan to be the starter.
I know, but Jason Campbell.
Yeah.
No.
So, anyway, training camp is one thing that our real game. We're talking about practice. Like, obviously,
we're talking about practice.
Not a game, but practice. So let's get out here on the field against a good Green Bay squad. Let's see what you got. Terrell Pryor, I expect him to show some flashes. You know, when you got guys that can be
number one
target, like DeSean Jackson, you see automatically what he brings to the table.
Yeah, agreed.
I need to see what Terrell Pryor has in this game.
All right, if you're listening right now, feel free to call numbers 240-478-3140. The question is, who needs to have a big performance in this game against the Packers. For me, I'm going to say P. Ryan. I just wasn't impressed. For all the talk that you hear about, I mean, in the draft and in training camp, like, this guy has the opportunity. No, it's the truth. Like, this guy has.
Cam, I know.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. I am. This guy has the opportunity to take Rob Kelly's job, and to see him fumble, to see him drop passes, to me, to see him hesitant to hit a hole. I didn't see what was special about this individual. Like, this is the guy that can be a guy who can get a thousand plus yards. I didn't see that guy.
It was a bad debut. At least he didn't lose the fumble, though. But
no, it was a bad fumble.
He's got to prove something in this game. I agree.
Yeah, on a matter of fact, on Facebook, in the group Redskins Nation Football Club, in terms of the question, Dustin Smith said the whole team. Dominique said no. There's no one. Sorry, I'm not counting that one. Thomas Ward said the offensive line.
Okay.
All right. Travis Robinson said Cousins didn't get that many carries. I mean, not carries. Didn't get that many opportunities. Obviously, had a couple of drives, but limited passes. He would like to see Cousins throw the ball a little bit more. He said that last year in the second preseason game, Cousins didn't play at all. So he's hoping to see Cousins play a lot in the second preseason game. Also, he mentioned P. Ryan. He would like to see P. Ryan improve and get some of those jitters out.
I'm just interested to see Cousins as well, because you don't have – you don't have Doxson, you don't have Jordan Reed. I'm a little bit nervous about the offense right now.
I think you should
just a little bit.
To be honest with you, I think you should be nervous, because one, even though like the first, it's only one pass to Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
But you would think that maybe they don't have like the chemistry down pack right now. And if you're not gonna have Jordan Reed, if there's a possibility you're not gonna have Jordan Reed in week one, you're going to need to rely on Terrell Pryor. And that's the thing. You're going to have to rely on Terrell Pryor.
Yeah. I agree with that. Again, I think it's going to take time. So what not a better time to build the chemistry in the preseason?
Yeah.
You know, I think as a fan, let me clarify something, because for those who listen the week in and week out, as a fan, I feel like the preseason is irrelevant. But as you pointed out at the beginning of last week,
mm-hmm.
for players building chemistry, trying to earn a spot, it's important.
It's essential.
So let's see Cousins and Pryor get more reps. And then obviously that will hopefully carry over into the third preseason game, when they're going to get probably a half a play.
Agreed. I'm with you. I think Kirk Cousins getting more work will be good for him, because I think people forget when he didn't get that work last season, he started the season off slow. And I think that kind of played a part in it anyway. But anyway, it's about time for another break. When we get back from break, the Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper, injured. But it's not as bad as we thought it would be. We'll talk about it after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig? Deuces.
It's been through it all, man. Blood, sweat, and tears. Ziggy's dead and shit. What the f*** else could happen, yo? I don't think much more, son. I don't know, yo. Yeah, I've seen it all and been through it all, yo. That's how I feel right now. Yo, the mother for real.
Queen B, baby.
True.
Lil' Kim. D.I.G.
I'm lying.
Yo. Blowing with rusty ass German things, giving the double as I motherfucking claim the fame. Throwing your wetsuit when it rains, it pours and all. Hit him with the fall, don't even know him from a hole in the wall. Get at me, you wanna clap me, snitches wanna rap me, put it right where they back be. Keep my thuns close to me, enemies even closer. Sending kites with the Motorolas, yo. Give him the cold shoulder with a hollow tip to match. Bad apple out of the bats, obsessed with gas. Ain't since a little dude eating full buck 50s. Ziggas can kill me, but they coming with me. How about that? Send the queen bee to attack. Only your fly like that can leave him relaxed. Rock him to sleep, make him think the drama is dead. Yo, I smile up in your face, no, I'm plotting instead.
Yo, it's the real. To make you feel, jump him in the club. Have you out and out when he bumped this drug to your eardrum, the war uncut. Have an OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real. To make you feel, jump him in the club. Have you out and out when he bumped this drug to your eardrum, the war uncut. Have an OD, cause it's never enough.
Hot damn hole, here we go again. Light as a rock, hard as a this not for blocks, through hard tops in the parking lots where my rock like the spark a lot. My Brooklyn style speak for itself, like a wrestler, another notch under my belt. The embezzler, chrome treasurer, the UNO competitor.
All right, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, Will T on vacation. I'm going to read this tweet out referring to Super Craven's growth of him missing the preseason game. My man at TLive1 said, move DJ Swerger to strong safety where he belongs and move Fish Smithson, the only true safety on the roster, up. Young, cheap, smart, and always around the ball. Yeah, I've heard about Fish Smithson. He's been a guy, I know, right? No, I have, actually. He's played good in the preseason. I know, right? He's played well.
Smithers.
He's played well in training camp, Ray. Practice, right? He's played well in training camp.
Everybody looks good in training.
Exactly. I think this is a good opportunity to open up competition while Sue was out. Get his kid an opportunity to see if he can slide into one of the safety spots. But yeah,
we need like an Albert Haynesworth fit testing in training camp these days. Yeah, how good guys
really are.
He couldn't even get into training camp. He couldn't pass the test.
All right, well,
that was great. That was. We need to bring it back. See who really looks good.
Go stop it, man. Stop it, bro. All right, Bryce Harper, man. I know, that's on me. Bryce Harper, Saturday night, while running to first base, he tweaked his knee. It looked pretty bad. It's a bruised. He has a bone bruise, excuse me, a serious bone bruise. When you first saw it, what did you think?
Looked like Adam Eaton. It looked like
It looked bad, man.
He's about to, I think his reaction was what made it look so bad.
No, but the way the knee just, like, the way the whole leg just went one way. Remind me when I tore my ACL mentally. Silence.
Nah. Anyway, there were two different ways y'all felt, but
go ahead, man.
It did look bad. It didn't look Willis McGahee bad to me, but the way he reacted, I was like, wow, you know. But to get the news, no structural damage. But initially, you know, as a fan, I'm like, man, the Nationals pitching staff is so strong. Tanner Roark, Scherzer, Strasburg, Gonzalez. I'm like, you know what? The Nationals will survive because they always have strong pitching. But we know in the postseason that the Nationals need to bring their bats. And Bryce Harper's a big part of that. And, you know, to have, you know, Jason Worth back for the playoffs, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, they can hit their stride offensively in the playoffs and be consistent throughout.
Now, I think to me, when I first saw him, like I told you, when I saw it, I thought it was over. I thought, okay, my whole thought process was, all right, he's gone. Does this hurt the Nationals' opportunity to make it to the World Series? That's the first thing that they
possibly
came to mind.
Possibly. I mean, you've had so many injuries. Again, Adam Eaton, Trey Turner, my goodness, Steven Strasburg. I just mentioned Jason Worth. This team has battled through injuries. Luckily, they're in a bad division. Real talk.
Yeah. No,
that's real talk.
But what I do, like, but still, but to the Nationals' credit and to, what's the name of the GM, Ray?
Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, Mike Rizzo. To his credit, he's built a deep roster and a deep squad offensively. Where if you lose a Bryce Harper at this point in time, right? Because you know Strasburg is gonna, you know, he's gonna come back and he did the rehab start, so he'll be back. And you know you're getting Trey Turner back. This roster is so deep that we see Michael Taylor, you know, step up when Adam Eaton's been out. We see the year that Anthony Rendon, Daniel Murphy, Ryan Zimmerman.
I love Daniel Murphy.
These individuals. So yeah, very consistent. These guys are putting up big numbers. Like, there's offense. Like, the Nationals have a bunch of offense, and they can score with anybody. And they have the pitching.
Eddie Matz, ESPN.com baseball writer, said, as good as Harper's been, and I'm quoting, this season, and to be clear, he has been good enough to put himself firmly in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, he has.
So, but he feels like Anthony Rendon has snuck into the conversation.
I said that already.
So he feels like because of Anthony Rendon and the aforementioned Daniel Murphy, that's still enough firepower.
And Ryan Zimmerman, too.
And Ryan Zimmerman to survive without Mr. Bryce Harper.
And then, like you mentioned, you're going to get Trey Turner back. Like
it's frustrating. The injuries are frustrating. But you know what? Here's the beautiful thing. You get injured during the regular season, what your, you know, by far, in a way, you know, running away with first place in your division. I think getting healthy for the playoffs is great. And I don't know if Bryce Harper's chemistry is going to be messed up for the simple fact that to me, for the, did you ask that question yet?
No, what question? That's what you, what question are you talking about? What are you referring to? You're so awesome. That was just a great segue. Good job, Ray.
I feel like he's that strong of a player. He's that talented that once he comes back, he'll be fine. If there is an adjustment, I think he can afford to, you know, maybe have a few strikeouts here and there. But he's such a strong batter, has such a good vision. I think he'll be fine.
So it's, wouldn't you say it's a must to get him to come back before the season ends? Like right before the season ends?
Well, that's the hope. I can't say it's a must. I mean, because the most important thing is to make sure he's healthy.
Yeah, but so, yeah, you're right. I think that's the most important. I agree. I think that's the most important thing. But you don't want to, for him to get his bats in, or, you know, within in the postseason. Like, you want to get him to get those at-bats in the regular season, because in the postseason, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see that team's best pitching staff. You're not going to get the fifth starter. So you're going to go against their best.
Heck no. Especially if you could face a team like the Giants.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, not the Giants. I'm glad not the Giants.
I'm just having flashbacks of the Giants series. Pablo Sandoval, which that earned him a big payday that offseason
there. Oh, yeah, he balled.
And Bumgarner, who pitched like 3 games a series, it felt like, and was a closer. Yo, man, the Nationals need some luck on this side. All we need is like one high pitcher. Forget Bryce Harper, man.
They got Strauss, man. The big Strauss is back. He'll be back. So they'll have their whole staff.
Bryce will be fine for the playoffs.
I hope he is.
As long as he's healthy.
I hope so, because he's had a great year. And I want, you know, to me he's definitely an MVP candidate. Top two. I think Arenado would probably be number one for me, but he'd be top two.
Your boy Giancarlo, you see,
he a beast.
Setting records.
Yeah, he a beast. I like Carlos Stanton.
I mean, he hasn't lived up to a hype either.
No, he's lived up to his hype.
You like him, though.
He lived up to his hype. He hits home runs. That's what his hype is. He hits home runs.
He's been injured.
Yeah, he's been injured. He's been hitting the face with baseballs
and
stuff.
He's not A-Rod.
He's not. He was never supposed to be A-Rod.
I mean, he got the A-Rod type payday. That's why I'm comparing him.
Oh, because he's the Marlins' only star. Somebody has to get paid.
You think he's on he's juicing or something? You think he's on the steroids?
I don't like to say anything about that.
I'm just asking.
No, well, I'll say this. He's a strong kid, so I'm not going to... That's all. He's a strong kid. I can't say that he's on steroids. It's not like he's a skinny dude hitting home runs. He's a strong dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's swole.
Yeah.
But I'm just asking.
You know, when it's
skinny, always a suspicion. Even Albert Pujols.
Like,
there was like a Rafael Palmeiro special on lately.
I saw.
And I looked at him like, dude, you don't even look like you.
I know. You don't look like
you look like
anything.
My uncle up there batting. Anyway, that's just a side thought.
You're right. But now, if it was like
going back to Bryce Harper,
it's like if it was like Jose Bautista. Yeah, he took steroids.
And then he still got knocked out by Odor.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway,
2-piece.
Bryce, man, it was a hard
1-piece.
Hard one.
Yeah, hard one.
Straight right.
Get the T.
Hey. dance for me, boy.
What's
real? Right,
yeah, because
Conor McGregor got saw
dance.
That,
he saw it. Dance for
anyway,
me, boy.
We all over the place. Bryce Harper will be fine.
Bryce Harper will be fine. You're right. Dance for me, boy. That is the favorite. Will is a star now, man. Real talk. True story. Yeah, real world. Yeah. 7 strangers in 1 household.
He's a star. He's an absolute stud.
You know it. He's the stud. Anyway, man, the Wizards schedule is out. We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Show me what you twerk with. So good. chain to my collar. Two drops, no mileage. Top off like Wallace, and I'm a hell smoker. Know that. Feel the rich before that. New deal, I know that. Three bins, I'm on that. We pop a Molly. She bust it up. She see the goddamn. My life a godfather picture. Local club in my city. I fell in love with a stripper. No, I'm that top talking photo Bugatti. I'm the life of the party. Let's get these seats on the Molly. You know I can't stack. So drop that. I got what you want. Drop that. Film it. It's lonely to film it. Ballin'. Like I play for New England.
Go Ricky Ross. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. My man Ray. I'm Wally. Will T on vacation. The Washington Wizards schedule out. It's out now, son. It's out. The Wizards have 18 national games on the NBA schedule.
Nationally televised,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. How many? So are the Wizards now that new IT team? I mean, 18 is a lot of national games.
I think it's a few things. Obviously, they have the star power to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, they're building continuity,
uh-huh.
which is key. You have a core set of guys, and I'm gonna say Markieff,
uh-huh, yeah,
Otto,
yeah,
Wall, Bill, and I'm gonna throw Gortat in.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they have good chemistry on the floor together.
I think, yeah, I do. I think we've seen with John Wall and even Gortat how they run the high screen and roll together. I think it's a thing of beauty. Bill and Wall have great rapport. And to me, it's all predicated on John Wall. I think John Wall is the it player. He is the guy. He's the guy that makes the thing run. He's exciting. He's exciting to watch. And he, to me, leads the ship, and he creates that chemistry with everybody. He looks, when he's running the break, he's always looking for a shooter. It's like an Otto Porter on the baseline or Bradley Beal. If he's trailing for a three, he's always looking for Bradley Beal. Markieff Morris on high screen and pick and pop plays. To me, when you look at John Wall, he is the it player. That's him. That's why they're on TV, to be honest with you, in my opinion.
Of course. And you can't disagree with that. Scott Brooks is developing, you know, this team into a contender, and hopefully one that will be contending for years based on the fact that they have signed their core group, Wall, Bill, and Porter through the next several seasons. So I'm looking forward to the future. They got a good test coming up in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
First game
of the season
at Philly. You know what? I'm going to be interested to see Ben Simmons in his first real NBA game, man. You know, obviously.
Well, that first game is in D.C.
It is?
Yes, in D.C. Yes, in D.C.
Oh, I thought it was
October 18th. Mm.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Well, it's against the Sixers. It's going to be exciting to see.
You're talking about the game on ESPN, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
it's going to be exciting to see Ben Simmons in his first game and how, you know, the Wizards defend, you know, Simmons and Fultz. And then with a new-look Sixers team, when there's so much hype around Simmons with his height, his passing ability, his athleticism, his shooting is still in question. So I think that the Wizards can score a victory in game one.
I think that it's a good sign. I mean, it's a good game because, like you said, you have Markelle Fultz coming home to play.
First game. That's
first
great.
Game. Yeah, I know, right? Playing John Wall, one of the best point guards in the NBA. So it's a good sign. It's a good test for Markelle Fultz. Then you look at – let's look at Otto Porter as for example, as a guy who got paid. He's now it's time to prove why you got paid that amount of money. And we've seen Bradley Beal get better every year now. Looks like he's trying to take his game to the next level. So there's a lot going on in that game, in that first game. And to be honest with you, the Sixers are that young, hungry team that, yeah, they haven't made the postseason, but they're a sexy it team as well. And the Wizards, this is a team that the Wizards are going to have to probably be against and really be battling out for the next couple of years down the road. So
I'm not sold on the Sixers yet, to be quite honest.
Okay.
I just want to see what they're going to do.
Uh-huh.
On paper, they look like they have a lot of potential.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Jahlil Okafor, who struggled last year, I want to see how he's going to fit in with, you know, this just change in lineups.
Uh-huh.
I want to see, you know, Markelle Fultz, who to me is a good distributor. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be interesting to see him kind of play the off guard.
Yeah, and the game that stands out to me is that Celtics game on Christmas Day. On ABC. I mean, I think, come on, as we saw in the postseason how big this rivalry was. In the regular season and the postseason.
Yeah,
and now that
we covered one of those games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we covered one of those games. And you know, the addition of Gordon Hayward. Like, how does that make the Celtics? Does that make the Celtics?
It makes them better.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it makes them tougher, but you still got Smart. You still have Thomas for now.
Yeah.
But and then I just read an article today about, you know, they're quietly looking at Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And thinking about a package that will include Thomas and Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder.
So. And then, yeah, that would make them that much tougher. And all to be, and then, you know, add in, they got a Morris. A Morris. You know, it's must-see TV. It really is. It's really an attractive game for Christmas Day.
It's a very attractive game. But do you still feel like it's like a undercard for Cleveland going to state?
Easily. It's still the undercard, but it's like when you pay for that fight, though. Real talk, you pay for that fight. You search in the undercard. You're like, you're looking at the undercard, and then say you Floyd Mayweather Jr. You're like, oh, I got Lomachenko on my undercard. That's what this is. That's what this Christmas Day game is. It's that Lomachenko on your undercard type of thing. That's what it is to me. It's a real, if you're going to have, like, on Christmas Day, you want that rivalry game. You want that it game. Celtics and Wizards have become one of the best games in the NBA docket.
Okay.
Is there a game that you would want to see over that in terms of two teams that you think don't like each other enough?
At this point, I can't say that there are any other rivalries where there seems to be so much like bad blood. No, mm-hmm. I really can't think of it off the top of my head. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and try to find it.
No, you shouldn't either. You shouldn't try to find it. You said Houston Rockets because they have James Harden and Chris Paul versus the Clippers.
Yeah, this thing going to be a whole bunch of like bad blood, though.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's still going to be a good game to watch. To me, sometimes anybody versus the Warriors right now.
I think anybody versus exactly anybody.
So much.
It's just like even back in the day when the Miami Heat. Anybody who played the Heat was great.
It was like a rivalry.
Yeah. Everybody wants to go at the dogs, the big fish, the big dogs in the yard.
Even though the games are closer with Paul George now, maybe OKC versus Golden State might be a better matchup to watch than the Wizards Celtics.
I don't think so.
I said might be. Last year, you knew that Westbrook.
You know what? It's still good, though.
But he was still.
You know, that's a good one. I'm going to get you back. I'm sorry. Westbrook versus Durant, it's a good one. And Steph, yeah, it's a good one. No, I'd say that's a good one. That's a good one.
Anyway.
Real talk, that's a real good one.
The Wizards are expected to be a top five Eastern Conference team. I'm fully confident. And Kobe Jacobino, you can go ahead and pick them to win 50 games this year, and I think you'll be okay.
They were close, though. In the past, he
would pick them to win, like, 54 games.
But they were close, though, last year. They were close.
This was, like, Randy Whitman's last year. They didn't come close. But anyway, I'm looking forward to basketball season. It's going to be cool to watch all the new rookies. And, you know, here at the Washington Wizards, you know, the core is built.
No, I'm with you. Totally with you, man. I think the Wizards are ready. They're priming, ready to do some special things, and hopefully, you know, the Wizards can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's sad to have to, like, kind of hope for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Anyway, it was a great show. Appreciate everybody for listening. Listen to us next week. That's going to be episode 300 for the Urban Sports Scene. 300. Time's gone by fast. Wow. I know, right? It's crazy. But anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A Mega. D us out, big homie.